All right. Thank you for tuning in to Too Sick, episode 11. Your host, as always, Jim Jones. With me today, Frogman, yep. Mr. Aaron, mm-hmm. Uncle Doinky, and Mr. Raekwon Green.
How you doing?
Thank you for joining me. Doing well. So, I like to start off every interview with an introduction. We got your name. Tell me about your age, where you're from, and what instruments you play.
All right, so I'm the age of 24, gonna be 25 in 2 months. Yeah, two months in September. It's creeping up there. As far as instrumentation, what I do, all that stuff, experience, I dabble in a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Pretty much mostly classical percussion. That's what I went to school for, and that's what I studied. But I play a little bit of piano. I'm beginning to play a lot more guitar than ever. So I do a little bit of everything. I'm predominantly a drummer, though. Mm.
Interesting. And why do you play music?
It makes me happy.
Okay.
That's the best way to put it.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Got that one a few times.
Yeah. Yep.
So why land on drums?
Well, it started.
That's a loaded question.
Well, it started out in high school, being in the drum line, and I was at the UL drum line, and I marched DCI, and so drumming was kind of always something that was important to me at the time, before I make the transition and really started pursuing my true dream of being an artist and mm-hmm. a country artist and doing what I'm doing now. And I still play drums. I still pick up sticks and drum around and, you know, have a good time, but that was just a point in my life where I was very fixated on it, I guess is the best thing to say. I still love it, but I have more love for what I do now than what I did in the past, because you can't just play snare drum and stuff like that for the rest of your life, unless you're in the Army.
Absolutely.
in the yeah. service, I mean. So.
Hell yeah. And you do a little bit of singing as well, yeah?
Oh, yeah. A little and a lot. Mm. Let me say that. A little and a lot.
So let's get into your early influences. Mm-hmm.
Early influences when it comes to country music?
Anything.
Well, I guess you have to talk about, or I have to mention where it started. So as a kid, my grandparents and mine always used to play country music mm-hmm. in Texas. They live in Texas, and my grandfather had a horse farm, and that's what he did and stuff like that. So that's where I learned how to ride horses in the cowboy life. But country music was always playing, and I always did take a liking to the sound of country music and what it was. And I'm a big fan of the 80s and the 90s.
Okay.
And the early 2000s. Those three eras, I guess, or decades, of course, mm-hmm. Our country were just amazing. But my influences as far as artists go, that's a long list. That's like the longest list ever, because I take inspiration from pretty much everybody that was the 80s and the 90s and early 2000s. Because that was just great music. But my biggest idol who I look up to for what I do now is George Strait.
Okay.
George Strait, to me, is and always will be the king of country music.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. A very close friend of ours shares that opinion. But what would you say is your favorite George Strait album?
Favorite George Strait album? That's a tough one. I'd have to say Unwound, his very first album that he dropped.
Okay.
Unwound, and probably number 8. And then maybe, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the album. Let me cheat here real quick.
Pull it up.
Let's make sure I say the right thing.
Yeah.
Because I cannot.
He's got a lot.
I'm trying to make sure I'm saying it the right way. Because you know how you overthink things these days.
Oh, definitely.
Where is it? Road Less Traveled. I was
okay.
right. I was thinking I was wrong. I was thinking, no, it's A Bridge Less Traveled or something like that. It's A Road Less Traveled. But that's probably my top albums. It has to be the Unwound album. Well, it's straight country.
Yeah.
It's the original name. I just call it the Unwound album because that's the hit that was on it.
Okay.
But, and then the number 8 album. And then definitely, or number 7 album, sorry. And A Road Less Traveled.
For me, it's, Oceanfront Property. Mm-hmm. I think I like that one a lot because that's what my dad had me listening to a lot growing up. Mm-hmm. But I do like a decent amount of George Strait. So are there any others that stand out as particular influences?
Keith Woodley, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loves Keith Woodley. Like Clint Black.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest thing, which as y'all can see, I try not to remember exactly the album sometimes.
Yeah.
I love a song. Like, yeah, I'm a songs guy. Because, like, I'll listen to one song on one album because I like that one song on an album. But I won't like the rest of the songs on the album, you know. But when it comes to other inspirations from other artists in country, I just like to tell people the greats of country, which is, to me, Merle Haggard,
mm-hmm.
Keith Woodley,
definitely.
George Strait, Brooks and Dunn.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Patti Loveless.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton, Reba McEntire.
Of course.
Patsy Cline, Hank Sr.,
yeah,
Hank Jr.,
yeah, yeah.
Waylon.
Oh, yeah.
I keep going. I mean,
yeah.
Dottie West.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, Roy Acuff, George Jones.
Oh, Roy.
Alan
love
Jackson.
Me. Oh, yeah.
You know, I could keep going. I mean, it's one of those things that you can't be I feel like in country music, you can't be married to just one
definitely.
Artist these days, in this genre, in these days, especially, even with modern country, like, you like what you like, and I understand that, but when it comes to being inspired, I take inspiration from all those artists. Even if it's a female artist, I'm like, I like what she did there vocally. That was cool. That was nice what she did. I might steal that little run that she did and put it somewhere else and make it fit with what I'm doing. Because you have to take from who you look up to
mm-hmm.
and mold it into what you want to do, and then that's how you create.
Definitely.
That's how you create, you know.
So, I know we were talking before this about different sounds in country music coming mm-hmm. from various regions across the North American continent in general. Do you have a particular favorite country scene?
Texas country, definitely. I'm a big fan of the Texas country circuit right now, and I'm just slowly pushing myself into that market. And hopefully what we're doing out here and what we're building and my team, what we're working on, is going to be liked by that state.
Yeah.
Because you have the heavy hitter of Texas right now is Cody Johnson.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, I had the opportunity to meet him, and nice guy, you know. I only had like maybe 5 minutes to really talk to him, but really nice guy. And the interviews I've listened to of him and what he's explained
mm-hmm.
is what he's doing is he's doing country music, what he believes is country music. And so the biggest thing is where the regional are how it's divided these days in different regions of what country is, and like we're talking about before, it's all off of preference, really and true. It's all off of preference.
Yeah.
It's not like there's no definitive answer of what is country. I understand that, but I feel like when you sit down and realize there's only what you create. And so what we're doing what I'm doing with my music is trying to take my appreciation for the 80s and 90s and mm-hmm. early 2000s and my appreciation for Texas country and put that together and therefore make my music.
Definitely.
And also sprinkle in a little bit of influence from the soul and the R&B era that I grew up listening to as well. Because my mom played a lot of soul, R&B, and reggae around the house. So I can't help but put a little bit of groove in there. Because nobody wants to just listen to a bunch of ballads.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're drunk and lonely and upset, mm-hmm. yes, we've all been there. You know,
it's not that niche of a crowd anymore.
Yeah, no. I feel, and it's the sad part. That's what I'm missing mm-hmm. country music is.
Yeah.
There's no ballads anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and there's no balladeers. Let me say that. You know, there's no balladeers anymore. And I wish they were. I wish they were, because that's a lost art and aspect of country music.
Have you listened to any Vincent Neil Emerson?
No, not really.
He's East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like a lot of his music is ballad-esque. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a little lengthier. He's mm-hmm. got a few ballads. But most of his music, if it's not like a full 5-6 minute song, is at least telling a story as if it were. It's a little more succinct, but most of his music tells a story. And I like that a lot. And I love the Texas scene of today. Yeah. I like what's going on out there. But Vincent Neil Emerson is one you should definitely check out. I
mean, Blaze Foley.
Blaze Foley. Now, that's an old name there.
The Towns Band. Yeah.
Also, yeah, one of the biggest Texas artists, too, Pat Green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Pat Green. Pat Green ruled Texas for years.
Definitely.
And that's what made Nashville sign him because, you know, the it's not to go off on a tangent.
No, go wherever you want.
How the business is, how I'm studying the business and being independent, you kind of look at what the market is doing and even the mainstream market. That's what I'm doing is learning how to, so I know how to work it when the time comes. So I know what's going on. And so if you could get, if you could grasp one state and have control of that region, so, or whether it's one state or two states, however, so like what we're trying to do, I mean, my guys and my team is we're trying to isolate Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, and Arkansas.
Yeah.
That region right there.
Yeah.
If we get control of that, and maybe Oklahoma, if we could
push off into that
too. If we could get those, what, that's four or five states right there?
Maybe Missouri. that's the goal, man.
And so, and we could get those to where we're playing nightclubs and we're getting close to selling out all the tickets, or we're, you know, we're pulling in at capacity or just about at capacity. And our sales are going up on our music. Spotify is shooting up. Nashville looks at that stuff and they're like, okay, well, we kind of have to work with you. Or we want to work with you.
Yeah.
Because you can only go so far as an independent artist. You really can't.
Yeah.
I mean, there's independent artists who are taking over and they have no type of mainstream pull. It's completely social media based. And then you have independent artists who were mainstream and then they decided to drop their label,
all good,
and go independent. And it's smart either way, but there's still a caveat. It's also a caveat either way because you could get locked down a contract or stuff like that. So it's a interesting situation, but it has its ups and downs, but it also has its benefits. I get kind of upset when people say too much negativity about the mainstream market.
Yeah.
Because I firmly believe if you have a product, because you have to look at yourself as a product. That's how I look at myself.
Definitely.
I'm a human being, first and foremost. Yeah. You know, you cut me open, I'm going to bleed red.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. But
old Tessa.
Well, but when we do what we do as artists and as musicians, it's a product. When we get on stage and put on a show and try to entertain, we're putting on a product. People come and buy tickets to come watch you play.
Mm-hmm.
You have to provide them with a service or a product, right?
Definitely.
You know? And so when it comes to a relationship with mainstream country, what I'm trying to do is create something that they cannot deny, even if I'm not the hottest person on Spotify, is that he puts on a good show, people love it, they enjoy it, he has a good look to him. And I mean, I'm not trying to put on a facade by any means,
because
I'm cowboy, born and raised. I mean, of course, my mom is not a cowgirl. She is afraid of horses. Jesus Christ, it's hilarious. But everybody's not into the same thing.
Yeah.
My grandfather broke me into that stuff, and he taught me that stuff, so I'd like to say I'm not like a hardcore ranching cowboy, but I've earned it.
Right.
I used to train horses. That's what I used to do. And so I'm trying to bring that cowboy way of life back to what is, or what we're doing in country music now. We're still being up to date and modern.
Yeah.
So sorry if I got on a little tangent.
No, you were good.
But hopefully it made a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that seems to be a different tactic from what I typically hear regarding getting Nashville's attention.
Mm-hmm.
I like that approach. I haven't heard it. I'm sure some people are doing it. And like we were talking about with Pat Green, like ruling Texas, it's a smart way to get the attention of the industry by ruling this regional area. But it sounds better than what I typically hear of people just moving to Nashville and not making it for 10 years, you know, like struggling to get by.
Lainey Wilson, exactly. And I opened up for her in
January. Yeah, I was about to ask you how was opening.
She's really down to earth, really nice, really a really just genuine person. I didn't really get a chance to like talk to her.
Yeah.
Well, I say that we had a conversation, but of course, you know, she's for her, you know, it's another show. She's trying to get through that, get to the next show. And us, you know, same thing for us. Even though we're local artists, it was myself, Adam Lazier, and Chris Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
We still had shows for the rest of the week, you know. So to us, we're like, we're gonna have fun and meet people and different people. But you know, she moved to Nashville, and she told us, you know, it was about, I think she's there for about 10, 12 years, mm-hmm. I want to say, before she really started making it. And she had said to Chris Burrow, I want to say, once, and Chris Burrow told me this once, he said, like, if I don't make it, I'm moving back to Louisiana.
Definitely.
And then that year she said that, and then things started taking off for her, you know. And I almost moved to Nashville. I almost moved last year. I was thinking about it before. This was like, I was set to graduate it and on a certain timeline and things. Then of course you don't foresee what happens in the future at that point. You just think about the present. So I was planning on moving to Nashville. It would have been this year if I'd have graduated in the spring of last year. I was going to be in Nashville this year. But moving to Nashville, there's a lot of yous. There's a lot of yous that have this dream of being a star.
Right.
They have people who are as talented as you, not as, or even more talented than you. And the thing is that you're either going to be a small fish in a big pond, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
From what the stories I've heard, there's really nobody that comes in that's going to be a big fish in a small pond. And now, granted, I'm only taking from what I've heard from other artists that have been up there. I haven't experienced Nashville. I'm hopefully going to take a trip before the end of the year and visit and get used to going out there and maybe doing some networking, try to meet some people and see what happens. But just meet people and maybe get some gigs in the area, in the state, and play around and see what happens. But not necessarily trying to, like, get a record out there, because that takes time. Nobody just walks into a record label these days and says, hey, can I audition for a record deal? Nobody does it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 50s and the 60s, yes, you could walk in and sit down with your guitar and play your little songs, and they'll tell you, oh, okay, yeah, or no.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, I was close to moving out there. And really quickly, I realized after watching a lot of stuff about Coda Johnson too, and that's where the industry kind of is aggressive, changing who you are, molding you into what the market is, you know. And I don't really want to lose that part of me that makes me me, because if you can't be genuine on stage and be yourself, people are not going to really buy into it.
Exactly.
People who don't really care and just want to be entertained, yes, they'll buy into it, they'll enjoy it temporarily. But people who appreciate a good connection with an artist, they want something that's real and true. They don't want something that's, I could tell he's forcing it, he's forcing this, and she's forcing this. And, you know, you could tell when it's manufactured, you know, instead of just natural.
Yeah, I think authenticity plays a huge part in country music specifically. You know, something about the genre really being about a way of life and like how you came up and like living these, I don't know, morals maybe. And if you don't, if you go by this image, that's a facade, like you were saying, and it being falsified, I feel like you lose a lot of the genuine love that your fans had for you.
Exactly. And of course, we're still in the mix. I'm not saying we're successful, but we're still in the mix trying to build up a fan base, you know, and it's getting there. My name is floating around, and I say we because it's not just me, it's my band as well. They're on the team as well. I have people who work with me as well that help me out a little bit. I don't have management as of right now, working on it in the next few weeks. Hopefully next month, roughly, I'll have some new management. I've been managing everything myself, doing flyers, promotion, paying for this and doing this and booking gigs, and that's starting to get too stressful because it's to the point where it's so much going on. I need somebody else to take care of that part.
Definitely.
But the biggest thing that I'd like to care about, the reason why having your own manager and your own publicist on stuff is beneficial, is because you could worry about the music part and just worry about the show. And like I said, the biggest thing that I want to give to people that come watch us play is something real, something that they can go home and say, you know what, that is what I needed this weekend. I didn't need to go listen to some rapper that I listen to every day.
Yeah.
You know, I need to hear some true words.
Exactly.
And not knocking rap artists.
Yeah.
They work hard too. Yeah. Not knocking it.
Yeah.
But I'm just giving, like, something that is not, that you can do anytime. Mm-hmm. You know, it's rare you get somebody that is trying to do their own thing and do it to an extent that is more than themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what I get. I try to give all of me behind a microphone every night. Yeah,
definitely. So when it comes to today's industry, who that may be making some waves do you take notice of? Who do you listen to? Either or both.
So right now in the Lafayette market or the Louisiana market, for better, let's just say Louisiana to be make it a lot easier. Adam Leger, definitely. My friend Adam Leger. Buddy Andrews and the Branded, they're making some music. Definitely, they're nominated for like a award locally or something.
Oh shit!
Of course, Destin Sony will always be successful.
Yeah, definitely.
He's a friend of mine.
Yeah,
Chris Bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, April Provost. Like, I could throw some names at Ori Vaillant, Ashton Dupree. If I'm forgetting anybody, y'all please don't get mad at me. and as far as mainstream guys, I mean, Lainey, man. I mean, Lainey Wilson, she's kind of honestly the biggest female star right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
she was at a Grammy she won for?
No, there was some
CMT Award?
CMAs and some ACMs and things. CMT Awards, too. And I mean, I really don't watch the award shows like I used to. Partially because the award shows have changed over the years.
Definitely.
I mean, I'm not going to get into the whole political thing of what I believe because that's too much, but I keep up with who won and who didn't win. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And so I think she's probably the hottest female on the circuit right now, hottest female artist.
Yeah, she's really beautiful. As well. I said, yeah, she's beautiful.
She is a gorgeous woman.
Yeah, she's extremely talented.
And Priscilla Block as well. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, she actually came to Cowboys.
Really?
Not recently, but this is like, I want to say 2 years ago.
Damn.
2021, I want to say. She had played a show at the Cajun Dome.
Mm-hmm.
I think she opened for somebody or something. And then she had asked, like, where's, you know, the nearest place to hang out, you know, the nearest bar or something.
Hell, I think. Yeah. And
she had went to Cowboys.
Pointed her to Cowboys, baby. Holy shit. Dude, I need to go to
one
Cowboys,
night I didn't go. It was the funny thing.
Every time, dude. Every time.
No. What are we missing right now at Cowboys currently, tonight?
Fighting, probably.
Oh, at the Cowboys?
Well, they're closed tonight.
Damn. Yeah. No, they need to be open on a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Closed on
the saloon is open.
Okay.
Saloon is usually open, a little small bar.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm actually playing there tomorrow. So
oh shit! There you go.
Acoustic set or whatever tomorrow.
Damn. Yeah. Check that out. Well, shit. You guys aren't gonna hear this till next week. but hope you check that out.
Well, I guess I could plug some shows. So July 15th, we're at the Showbox in Lafayette.
Okay.
Which is the old Fast Eddie's on the set.
Right there on Congress.
Yeah. So you have the racetrack. You'll see it right there, Showbox. July 15th, tickets are on sale. Y'all could come out and check that out. So, yeah. And then, where else? And way, way late on this year, December 2nd, we're playing at Cowboys Nightclub, the big club.
Okay.
I'm giving away some door prizes.
Ooh.
Actually, the first 10 people get a VIP package will be a shirt, a koozie, the hat, the sticker, an autographed headshot. At the end of the show, basically, what I'm going to do is, after the end of the show, I'm going to come and sign it for you
front
of you and take a picture with you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just to get people more involved and show my face so people know. Because I feel like when I go in public, and it happens sometimes on a daily, maybe not on a daily, but at least 3 or 4 times out of the week, I'll walk into like an academy and somebody will stop me and say, "Hey, aren't you that guy that sings country?" And I'm like, "Yes, ma'am." Or, "Yes, sir." And they're like, "Yeah, I see you on Facebook all the time. He's like, I like what you're doing." And so that's when I realized I need to start going out. And I do this at every acoustic gig. I'll go and thank people for listening. Mm-hmm. But I want to do this more just when I play at nightclubs. It's like, okay, I'm going to give you something for coming, because you're the first person in the door, the 10th person in the door. You're going to get something. But I'm going to go the extra mile, and I want to meet you because you decided I'm going to be here tonight to come listen to him play.
Yeah.
To listen to his music. I'm coming to listen to you. So that's how I look at it. The first 10 people get something free. You get pretty much everything that's on the merch, you get free first 10 people through the door.
Shit.
And then the first 20 just get, they're going to get a sticker and a koozie, I believe. That's what we're going to do. Got to talk to the guys and see, you know, what we should do as far as that. But I'm assuming it's going to be a koozie and a sticker, or koozie and a headshot, something like that. And then, of course, even if you don't get anything, if you want to take a picture and say hi, I will definitely do it. I'm not going to sit there and say, "Be gone from me." I'm not the type of person. But, you know, I'm always going to tell you hello if you see me in public. "Hey, how you doing?" I'm never that type of person to be like, "Do I know you?" Nah, it's not me.
Hell yeah. So, are there any big names of today's music that you're currently listening to?
I listen to a little bit of Creed Fisher.
Okay. Okay.
Of course, Cody Johnson.
Yeah.
Cody Jenks.
Cody
Childers.
Hell yeah.
Sturgill Simpson.
Of course.
I'll tell you what, I'll just go in my phone here and just make sure I don't forget anybody.
Oh, yes.
John Morgan.
Oh,
listen to John Morgan.
Okay.
He has a song called "Good With Goodbye." And a man, and the other song is "Man of a Few Words."
Okay. And what about John Moreland? Have you heard of him?
Name does ring a bell.
He let's see what he's got.
What about your guilty pleasure right now?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
What's your guilty pleasure, dude?
Yeah.
My guilty.
Listening.
Listening. Honestly, definitely at the moment is my friend April Provost.
Okay.
Kylie Fry, I forgot to say, an emerging artisan from, she's from Louisiana. Yeah. I think she lives in Texas or Tennessee, one of the two, but she's really coming out, and she's virtually asserting her dominance as an independent artist. She's from Opelousas.
Okay.
And so I'm listening to her a lot, my friend April Provost. I'm also listening to Donis Morris.
Okay.
From Texas, and of course, I listen to
Charlie Crockett a little bit.
I love Charlie.
Yeah,
Charlie's amazing. Of course, Destin Sonnier is always going to be a guilty pleasure of mine, because we're friends. My friend Buddy Andrews. I listen to pretty much all my friends. I try to listen to their
music. Oh yeah.
Because I know they listen to mine, and it's not even that. It's because it's good music.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I appreciate it more because you know there was hard work put into it. Because what people don't realize as independent artists, we don't have a lot of money to go to these high-end studios and cut a top-of-the-line record with the top-of-the-line musicians. So I appreciate it more when I know you hustled to put that one single out on the radio. You hustled to get it done. Right now we're working on the album, and we're almost done with the hard part of getting it done in the studio, where I'm about to go and start cutting vocals. And that's been a work in progress for the last year and a half, is getting this album done. And we're close. It's close. We're just waiting on one song to be done. And then all of July is going to be cutting vocals. And I purposely didn't book as much, so I have enough vocal rest. So
yeah,
I can give a good recording. But, you know, that's the whole premise of why I appreciate artists who aren't mainstream.
Yeah.
Or who started off not mainstream.
Yeah.
Because you started out probably paying $400, $500, $600 for one single to be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't have to worry about it because you could pay $10,000 for it and get the best musicians in Nashville to cut it, or the best musicians in Texas, you know. But you just, that's the difference. There's some people who walk into a career in mainstream music and have the pick of the litter.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of us who don't.
Yeah, a lot who don't. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little more about the recording process itself. About where you recorded, how you went about recording.
All right, so when I was with my previous management, mm-hmm. met some people, and of course this is all work for hire, you know, you pay for hire, and or how you want to put the terminology. So it's not contractual, you don't have to worry about it. I could only do work with this company if you're under this company. So shout out to my producer Seth Lecoq,
mm-hmm.
from Parish County Line. He's the lead guitarist. He's the lead guitarist Parish County Line, because it's two, and I kind of get him a little I don't want to say the wrong title, but he's the lead guitarist. A wicked guitar player. I mean, freaking amazing guitar player, man. And he produces everything. He plays drums on everything. It plays guitar, not fiddle. Jason Bajeron is cutting fiddle on my records. He's the fiddle player for Jamie Bajeron.
Okay.
And so when it comes to how we're doing it right now, of course, my second album is going to be done in a studio. This is all being done outside, away from me, at a different studio, at a different, you know, location. But my next album is definitely going to be done in a studio. I want to be there. I want to be there and explain what I want. And of course, same thing happens with Seth cutting it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a different feeling when you have all these musicians together,
right?
And we could brainstorm. And I'm like, here's what I'm thinking, guys. This is what I want. And then somebody else can come and say, well, I see what you're saying. Let's do it like this, and I could add this in there.
Mm.
You know, it's a different feeling when you're in a studio.
Yeah.
Because I used to do a little bit of work in the Zydeco genre playing guitar every now and again. I'm not the best guitar player as far as how they, because they understand music differently, and it's a different feel. But I understand, of course, chord progressions and numbers and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to that, though. I'm looking forward to going in the studio, and an actual studio, and just doing it all together and not doing it piece by piece. Because right now, Seth cuts it at his house in his in-home studio because he has everything there. And then I go and cut it at a friend of mine, Tony Arduin's house, at his in-home studio. And it's good quality. It's not like it's, you know, in somebody's garage or something like that. It's good, great quality. They're all professional musicians, so they know. And they, Tony Arduin was in a country band called River Road.
Okay.
Back in the 90s. Seth Lecoq is in Parish County Line.
Yeah.
They, you know, they know what they need to make quality recordings. And so that's why I trust them, is that they know what you need to get good quality.
Right.
So. And that's pretty much it. And then as far as mix and mastering, is done by, his name is Casey on the Mix. That's what he goes by in Florida. So my stuff gets mixed in Florida.
Okay. Damn, outsourcing to Florida.
That's the way to go.
Hell yeah.
Outsourcing.
Yeah.
Mixing, mastering. Way to go.
So, tell me about... Oh, you're good, you're good, go ahead. Tell me about You Look Good in Neon.
Okay. Funny enough, there's two reasons behind this song. So, this song actually... initially, I wrote this in December... But the idea for the song came way before that, like the year before, when I was watching Yellowstone. Because I hadn't jumped on the Yellowstone train at first when it first came out. I hadn't jumped on it. And this was during 2020. 2021. Those either are. I can't exactly remember. No, 2021. I was watching, I literally binge watched like the first two seasons one night, or the first two or three seasons, like back to back, just kept watching it because it was good. It was really good. I was like, this is amazing. And I was late to the party, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a scene, and I want to say season two, where Rip tells Beth, "You look good in neon."
Oh.
And I was like, ding, that's going to be a song title.
Yeah.
And so I just wrote it down. I just kept it. I was like, but I guarantee there's going to be like 30 or 40 songs that's going to come out in the next 3 years of this title. And there's only two, and I'm one of them. It's, I think it's Mooney and the Moon Pies, the other guy with the same title. But, and then the other part of the story, other point of writing the song was I had a crush at the time on, she would go nameless, on somebody that I would see at Cowboys nightclub a lot. And so, when I was first writing
Cowboys song, love affair from before.
And so, when I first started writing it, I kind of had this idea. I was like, I had the melody. I was like, and I was like, you know, kind of like a, just a good vibe, a good, you know, not melancholy, but smooth, like kind of a smoothness to it. You know, it's not something that's in your face and like very aggressive. I want the band to sound aggressive, like the music to sound aggressive, but I don't want what I'm singing to sound aggressive. And so I kept having that melody, and I was like, okay. And I started just, it just came to me one day, this past December, I was just writing it, and I was like, okay, this is, or was it? It was in November I was writing this. I have to look at my phone or something. I haven't written down exactly what date it was. Because everything I write, I put a date on it, so I know when I wrote it, and then I seem to just never remember anything. I was just sitting in the rocking chair and just writing, and it just kind of came out. I wrote that song in like 10, 15 minutes.
Damn.
Maybe that's that, a great song. Maybe 10 at best. It just all came out of me, and I was just like, of course I was drinking a few. That's kind of when you write the best, I think, is when you kind of relax. And it just kind of came out, and I said, you know, I'm going to cut this song and release this next year. It was towards the end of last year. And so when I opened up for Laney, that was one of the songs we played on the set. We had a 5-song set that we did. So we played 3 new originals that I had written over the holiday break, or the holiday, you know, holiday season going into 23.
Yeah.
So the 3 songs that I played was Love You Some More, which is going to be on the album, One More Time, One Night Romance, and You Look Good in Neon. It was actually 4, I'm sorry. One Night Romance I had been playing already. People have heard it already, but it's never been released. So those, the other 3 were You Look Good in Neon at the time, One More Time, and Love You Some More. So, yeah. You Look Good in Neon is inspired by Crush and Yellowstone.
Hell yeah. So what about Whiskey Frame of Mind?
Whiskey Frame of Mind, actually, I didn't write that song. Okay. That song was written by a friend of mine, associate Seth Storr. He actually gave me that song. One day, I was at his house. We were just hanging out, writing some songs. And he said, I got this song I hadn't recorded. I wrote it, I want to say he wrote it like when he was like in his early 20s or something. Like he had been holding on to it for a while. And he said, I think this is a good fit for you. And so he started playing it, and I was like, You know, I vibe, yeah. You know, you just kind of vibe with the song. You just kind of, you feel a relationship to it naturally. And I was like, oh, this is a great song. I like this. It kind of speaks to, because I've had several nights where I've been in a bar and I see a girl I used to talk to who she probably cheated on me, or, and I say cheated on me, but maybe ghosted me to go talk to another guy, and you upset about it, or even if you were dating somebody, every man has had that experience where you go out and you see somebody you used to talk to and they're with another guy, knowing what they did to you.
Yeah.
And so that kind of is why I clung to the song a little bit. And so that's pretty much it. I mean, if Seth was here, he'd probably be able to give a better explanation of why he wrote it. But this song speaks for itself when it comes down to it.
And Can I Be the One? That was your first single, right?
That was that first release. Actually, I wrote that song, I want to say, in 2021.
Okay.
I wrote it for a girl that I was going back and forth in a situationship at the time. I gave it to her because maybe, I guess in my crazy idiotic mind convince her that, hey, can I be the one?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And so she was like, I'm not ready for it or looking for anything. And then that pretty much shelved the song. I didn't really mess with it for about a year. And then when I got hooked up with my previous management, and I was like, hey, I kind of want to cut this song. This would be a good release, I guess.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how that went. And actually Seth Storer actually is he helped me fix some of the lyrics, and he's a co-writer on it because he kind of helped me fix some things around, and we got it the way it is today. And we still play that in our band set pretty regularly. We play pretty much every original that I have, but that's probably the one that we play that people know.
Yeah.
It's been on the radio the longest.
Right. So, we'll talk about Makes You Sad, and then lead into a follow-up question about getting into the radio around here.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Makes You Sad was actually written the same night I went cut vocals for Can I Be the One.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, now this is, of course, keep in mind, writing Can I Be the One and was 1 year, was 21, releasing it was 22, and I'm cutting vocals for that song until I'm 22. So I'm in a different
right.
situation. Talking to this girl and thinking everything's going great, and then things weren't, right? She had actually ghosted me the same night I was cutting vocals for Can I Be the One. And so, of course, I'm a little pissed off.
Yeah.
As any guy would be.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, I'm going through some ideas on my phone. Like, we got some different song titles that we could probably screw around with. We had some time. And I threw out an original name of the song would have been, I Hope He Makes You Sad. Which, of course, I still say in the song. Yeah. But that was the original name. He's like, just call it Makes You Sad. And so, he started playing something in B-flat and like... a chord progression, and it just kind of was, it came out of me. I just started saying, your memory, it haunts me.
Yeah.
And he came out with, I drown it out with a shine. And he just kind of just, we wrote that in, I want to say like 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20. Cause we kind of were like figuring out what it should be. Cause we were like, is this like a Brooks and Dunn thing?
Yeah.
You know, or this is more like a ballad or a beat ballad, kind of like a maybe a Tim McGraw / George Strait thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, I get a little George Strait off of that one.
And then, you know, when we sent it to Seth Lecoq to work on it, he found the niche for it. He was like, this is definitely a Brooks and Dunn thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, I get a lot of Brooks and Dunn and You Look Good in Neon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me about getting into the radio, getting airplay around here. Was that difficult?
It is difficult, but easy. Of course, I'm friends with pretty much, in the Acadiana area, I'm pretty much friends with everybody that works at the radio stations. Not that it benefits me completely.
Right.
Because I just like having a good relationship with those people. I'd rather have a friendship, and then what can you do for me, if that makes sense?
Right.
You know. Because certain radio stations can only do so much.
Yeah.
Like 97.3 really can't help me that much because they play all the mainstream country artists. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They report back to Nashville. That's their job. K-Bone, all I have to do is send an email and pretty much there you go. They play independent artists. Mm-hmm. They can do that.
So are you familiar with Phil Daigle?
Phil Daigle, I've heard that name several times. I'm trying to
Gumbo Phil from Cable.
Oh yeah.
Jesus
Christ. I'm bad with names.
Oh, you're good. That's my my old roommate's father.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah, old Gumbo Phil. Shout out Gumbo Phil. Shout out Duke Daigle.
Duke Daigle, of course.
Yeah, these menaces. Great guy though. Who's spent some time with him.
Shout out.
But sorry to cut you off there. Just as soon as you mentioned Cable, I'm like, gotta bring up Gumbo Phil.
And then Mustang and Karen Crow, which is, they spin my music every now and again when they can, you know. And the thing is, when you're independent, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
is getting some radio play, but really and truly, I'm gearing up to really take the social media part of what I'm doing a lot more serious, because I kind of slacked off. I started posting on TikTok back in 2020. Mm-hmm. I was actually starting to kind of trend a little bit and grow yeah. a little bit. And I slacked off, and then now it's hard to kind of get up from under there. But when it comes to local play, it's definitely a easier thing to do, because there's not a lot of radio stations out here
yeah.
that can play independent artists yeah. or that will. There's only, to my knowledge, there's only like four or five in the state completely. Ooh. Versus in Texas, there's 100. And right. that's why you see guys like Braxton Keith, who yeah. is also a guilty pleasure. Just realized I left him out. But Braxton Keith, who right now is growing in Texas, and it's just where we're at in Louisiana. And not that it's a good or a bad thing. I just think that we're just in a different state, and they value things a little bit differently. Like, we are predominantly Cajun and exotic. That's what yeah. we do. Country music is not really our heritage.
Yeah.
I wish it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish it was, because we definitely have a bigger market.
It really depends on the part of the state you're from, though. Because, yep. North Louisiana and East Louisiana, like, the North Shore where we're from, or, like, mm-hmm. my bad, or, like, up there in say, Ruston, is a lot mm-hmm. less likely to hear Zydeco and a lot mm-hmm. more likely to hear country.
Yep.
Like, Tim McGraw from around the Ruston area, yep. and I know Lainey Wilson's from, mm-hmm. from around there, yeah, the Monroe area. Baskin, yeah.
Near Monroe.
Yeah, so it's like Jerry Lee Lewis right there from Faraday. So it's like, that's a little earlier, but
before all the stuff.
Yeah. Oh, they weren't allegations. but we don't want to get into all that. But were you pulling that up? How old his cousin was when he married her? She was 13.
I think it was like 13, mm-hmm. but anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, Faraday.
Yeah. Faraday. Yeah. Okay. God damn. Jerry Lee Lewis, so talented to do such a relative, disgusting
Myra
thing.
Myra Lewis Williams, cousin yeah. slash wife.
Yeah.
You love it.
Did you really put that down there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There it is. Myra Lewis, cousin slash wife. Under relatives. Wow.
Man. I hate to... I never want to be the guy to defend it, because I hate it so much, but it's like...
It's a different point in time.
Yeah. They got a divorce after a year, but it's like, still, bro, you're married to your first cousin who was underage for a whole year of your life.
That is an excuse.
No, God, no.
I think yeah. that was, of course, now it's taboo.
Yeah.
They're married for 13 years.
And
it's not right. Of course, it's not right at all.
I was wrong.
But what you have to think is that at the day and age that they were in, like, that was kind of, I think, a normal thing.
Yeah, and not only the
older
age.
Men to date young girls, and not that it's a good thing at all.
No.
Because I strongly don't condone underage dating. Mm. But definitely, we have to realize that that was a point in history that was just different.
Yeah.
People didn't look at it like that.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever been to Faraday, but it's not the biggest town. I couldn't imagine what it was like in the 30s and 40s,
I mean, let's be honest, they were probably all related anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
In 2010, they had a population of 3,511 people.
There you go. In 2010. Now imagine 1940. I don't know when he got married. I want to say it was in the 30s. 57 he got married?
35.
Okay.
57 he got married.
Okay.
That was like his third or fourth marriage.
Yeah.
Back then, come on. Third marriage, bro? You going for first cousin?
Well, I ran out of options. He had four wives after her.
Man.
Jesus Christ.
His last wife was in 2012.
Yeah.
So he had, eight wives?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wives.
Six kids. He did grow to be, he died at like 93, mm-hmm. 94. He just died last year. 87?
Yeah, 35 to 22.
Still, man.
Yeah, that makes sense. My great grandma was born at 35 and died in March. And she was 88, yeah.
Damn. Well, I guess I need to brush up on my math. But anyway, to get out of that history, tell me about today's country scene in Lafayette.
It's definitely, I feel like, we never really had a true scene.
Yeah.
Because what we do is so off kilter of what the norm is in this area.
Yeah.
I feel like, if anything, we're kind of like underground. Like, you know, back in the day, those underground rappers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like that's what we are.
We're doing
like,
the punk scene, too. We're just little
hidden gems. Because mm-hmm. There's so many country artists that you're hearing about that in this area that I'm like, I've never met this person. Okay, yeah. How you doing? You know, and of course, my friend group, like I said, Adam Leger, Buddy Andrews, yeah. Orve on, Dustin Sonia, Chris Bro, April Provost, Danny LaCour. Well, I think she's doing more rock now, but mm-hmm. she started off in country. I think she still does country, but
yeah.
She's more like doing, she's creating her own thing. And kudos to her, and mm-hmm. I respect her for that. And she can really sing her ass off, I'll say that.
Yeah.
April as well, phenomenal freaking vocalist, female vocalist. But yeah, the market, I feel like we're trying to build it. I feel yeah. we never truly had one or have one. We as artists need to come together and build it. And I'm thinking about getting us together and trying to figure out a way to build a market, or not necessarily build a physical building, of course.
Yeah.
But just find a way to get us more in the forefront.
Yes.
You know, and not just have the same country bands playing the same festivals.
Right.
Or if it's going to be, you're going to get country bands, you're going to get not just the ones that are doing one thing that is so normal for somebody else to do. Like, you have some guys who get on stage and do the whole bro country thing.
Right.
And because it brings a crowd of 19, 20-year-old college girls, mm-hmm. you're going to go with it. But and that's the sad part about it, is that, you know, you have guys who are doing what basically the mainstream industry is doing with artists that are kind of desperate to be big and be
yeah.
famous.
Yeah.
And yes, it brings you fans in quickly, because it's basically, you're basically doing the norm, but it's not really catering to the market, because it's kind of taking attention away from what somebody else is doing and yeah. what we're trying to build. Because back in the day, you had musicians of different calibers, you had mm-hmm. different styles, of course, but guess what, everybody was open-minded back then,
right?
I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is that not everybody's open-minded, and I feel like the Lafayette area is not really open-minded to accepting all aspects of country
yeah.
right now. I feel like the aspect of country in Lafayette is whatever I can see with my eyes that looks cool to me, not if the music is good.
Definitely.
That makes sense. And that's what I'm trying. I'm not going to sit there and say I'm the best-looking guy in the world, because I'm not.
Top three.
But definitely, I want my music to be enjoyed.
Right.
But the sad part is, and this is around the entire world, I feel like we all listen with our eyes and not our ears. Because I've watched videos of artists and I'm like, that song is really cool, but I'm not really listening to the song.
Yeah.
I'm watching what he's doing or she's doing, and I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
But I'm not listening to, and then I go listen to the song that I figure out what the song is. That's why anytime I listen to an artist that I haven't heard and it's a live performance and I just hear a few words, I go and try to find that song and to see what the song sounds like first. Because I need to like your music first before I go see you live.
Certainly.
Unless I've been hearing a lot about you and I maybe have saw clips of you from friends who are like, hey man, you got to listen to this person. Anybody that I go watch live, I listen to their music way before I even see them live. Mm-hmm. You know, and my first concert was in 2022. My Damn. First concert was Cody Johnson.
Damn.
In
Baton Rouge. All right, that's a good one to go to.
And like, I had listened to his music for like a year before that, or a year and a half before that. Because I discovered him, and I feel sad to feel like a
hipster.
what's the word? That I'm jumping on the party
train. The bandwagon.
Yes, bandwagon. But I discovered I've been seeing it on. I've been seeing like who's this like Cody Johnson on TikTok and people are using this song and it was just trending, and I'm like and of course a few songs I was like I've heard this before somewhere.
Yeah.
I've heard this on the radio or something because it sounds familiar. So maybe I've been a Kojo fan way before and just never realized it because I still am finding songs that I heard from my childhood and I was like, why does it sound familiar? Oh wow, this is this artist and I've never noticed artists even cut this song that I've been liking since I was a child. You know, you just never know. But that's where discovery, I feel like discovery has been forgotten in today's music industry, is the sense and the want to discover. Now is just what is entertaining. Not, am I going to go find this song that speaks to me?
Yeah.
That I can relate to. Nobody does that anymore.
People want it fed to them, too.
Yeah.
Like you said, they don't even want to look. They just want that, and they want it fed to them.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Like, they want, just do what I need you to do. I don't know what I need you
exactly.
to do. Just figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the sad part about it, you know? And I'm very just straightforward in a live performance. I'm going to tell you why I wrote this song, what the song is about. We have a song in a set that we call Why You Gotta Be So Toxic.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on the album that's coming out hopefully in the next month. And it's literally about a girl being toxic.
Mm.
I haven't heard from her since 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're out with another guy on the other side of town.
Yep.
That's what you're doing. You're playing it at both ends.
Yep.
You know?
It was a smart way to do it with the regional control.
But I'm saying all that to say, like, there's no, like, in relationship to the market question that you gave me, even though I went like halfway across the country and back with that whole tangent, is that the market is not taking in people who are trying to do something original.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's why I'm moving my work a lot more to the Texas market and then bringing it back to Louisiana.
Yeah.
I'm not going to forget where I came from, but I'm going to go out there and make something of myself.
You're going to grow a little bit.
I'm going to grow a little bit and then come back and say, well, here's what I've been doing in Texas, and this is what y'all haven't been seeing.
Yeah.
But now I want you to come and see it. You know, and we're working on a light show for our live band shows, and we're working on stuff. We're working on having a big light show and having some tracks, not backing tracks. God no, we're gonna be playing live. We're not gonna be doing that.
Yeah,
we're not gonna be the Milli Vanilli of
Florida Georgia
music.
Line.
Yeah, but we you know, because let's be honest, light shows are kind of cool.
Oh yeah, they're awesome.
I mean, they are cool whenever you do them right.
Yeah.
But it's just, I want to separate an entertainer from an artist and realize I'm going to be an artist first, and then I'm going to turn on that switch when I get behind a microphone on stage and be an entertainer as well. Mm-hmm. In the studio, I'm an artist. I'm creating something.
Yeah.
On stage, I've already created it, but I'm still an artist. Right now, I'm an entertainer. But I want you to appreciate the art first and then come see me live. So
definitely.
That way, if it means I don't win you over as a fan until 2 years after this podcast, if you hear it, like, I'm going to go listen to his music. I'm fine with that because guess what? You went out and listened to the music and I did something that you liked. Now you want to come watch us do what we do. That's the whole thing. That's to me what I think building a fan is. Is doing something that they can relate to, not just spilling out a bunch of bull crap on an album.
Yeah.
Because this sounds modern, this sounds this. It's building and creating something, creating art, and then portraying it on stage. Not just I'm gonna run around and be a dimwit while playing Turn the Page.
Yeah.
No.
East of Omaha.
Damn. Hell yeah. So where can new listeners find your music?
On every digital downloading platform, mm-hmm. pretty much everywhere. Even you, of course, YouTube.
Yeah.
Even YouTube and iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music as well, I believe. Google Play. I think Google Play still a thing, or is it just YouTube
it
Music now?
No, I think so.
I don't really
YouTube
like
has music though.
Yeah. I don't talk to many people that use Android. Sorry.
Damn.
Yeah. So you pretty much find it anywhere. It's not that hard to find. I think there's only one guy with my name that is wearing a cowboy hat and album covers, and that's me. So,
hell yeah.
Who do you distribute through?
DistroKid.
Okay.
Everybody seems to go
to DistroKid. It's user friendly. It's not too hard to use, and it was the first one that I knew of going to UL. And shout out to Scott Durbin.
I was about to say shout out to Scott Durbin, man.
Shout out to Scott Durbin. He was like, of course, no hard feelings with CD Baby and all the other ones. They're all doing great things. It's just the first one that came to mind whenever I was releasing my first single. I was like, I'm just going to use DistroKid. It's user friendly. And there we go. And I use BMI for my publishing. Publishing and stuff like that. So,
all right. What about social medias? Your Instagram, TikTok?
Rick Kwan Green Music. Everything's pretty much Rick Kwan Green Music except Twitter. I haven't used Twitter. I have to update the username and tweak it, so don't look for me on Twitter yet. I'm still working on that. But Rick Kwan Green Music, RAIKWON, last name Green, and then music, all one big long word. Mm-hmm. And you find me on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hell yeah. And do you have any closing remarks?
Not really, everybody just be good people, I guess.
Yeah,
I do. That's evidently phenomenal. Just everybody be good people.
Yeah.
I say that at the end of every show. Be good to your friends, be good to your fellow neighbor, be good to your fellow man.
Hell yeah.
And peace, love, and country music.
That's it, man. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for joining us today, Raekwon. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you, man.
Absolutely. And peace and love, Jim Jones.